Now let's read together from God's Word, and we go this morning to John chapter 13. And we'll read the first 17 verses of John chapter 13. It was just before the Passover feast. Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. The evening meal was being served, and the devil had already prompted Judas Iscariot, son of Simon, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel round his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand." "No," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." "Then, Lord," Simon Peter replied, "not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." Jesus answered, "A person who has had a bath needs only to wash his feet. His whole body is clean, and you are clean, though not every one of you." For he knew who was going to betray him, and that was why he said not everyone was clean. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I've done for you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you should also wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. I tell you the truth, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a master greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." Let's pray again. Our Father, as we look at your word today, we want to ask for the aid of your Spirit, that you might help us to appreciate your truth, and we pray that you might apply your truth to our hearts and lives, so that, Lord, you might go on changing us and moulding us more the people that you would have us be. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, our subject this morning is love, from John chapter 13. I want to show you a picture of this here. Here it comes. I don't know if you know what that is. All you ladies especially will be interested in that. Elizabeth Taylor, 68 carat diamond, sold at auction for, I don't know if you know, $6.6 million. Is that about £5 million? A wee bit more than £5 million. And Richard Burton gave it to Elizabeth Taylor. All because of love. They say diamonds are a girl's best friend. There we are. And this chapter is all about love today. Indeed, this book that I have in front of me is all about love. God's amazing love for us. John's Gospel contains that wonderful verse that Amy taught on Thursday evening at the Holy Bible Club. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And so much of John's Gospel is taken up with the life and ministry of Jesus. Love demonstrated in so many ways. But by the time we come to chapter 13, here is a most amazing demonstration of love. Our church motto is love God, loving God, and loving people. And isn't that right? We need to be a people in this church who love him, who love God. What does it say in the scriptures? We're to love him with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, and with all our strength. We're to love him. And we have a lovely church building, haven't we? Lovely church building with chairs and refurbished and repainted and all the rest of it. But we're all about love. Loving him, first of all. and then loving people as well. When we had Reuben last Sunday morning speaking on 1 Thessalonians 4, there was a phrase that came from 1 Thessalonians 4 that struck me and really led me on this path for this morning. When Paul, writing to the Thessalonians, says, love more and more. Love each other more and more. It's a challenge, isn't it? That we should love each other more and more. So let's look then at love, the extent of his love, in verse 1 especially, and 3 to 5 as well, but particularly in verse 1. Having loved his own who were in the world, he showed them the full extent of his love. Different versions translate this verse different ways. The NIV says he showed them the full extent of his love, or the ESV says he loved them to the end. Might be in your version. D.A. Carson says it can mean that he showed the extent of his love. He showed them his love until his life came to an end. Can mean that, till Jesus' life came to an end. Or it can mean that he showed them the full extent of his love. He loved them completely, utterly, entirely. He loved them to the uttermost is what D.A. Carson says, translates it. And he says he loved them utterly. And I think both are right. I think both come from this verse. He loved them to the end of his life. And he loved them utterly. Loved them completely. Loved them entirely. And here is Jesus' love for his own. Those who belong to him. Those who were his disciples. Who had come to follow him. There is special love, isn't there? Here. For the disciples. And when you come to trust the Lord, he loves you and he goes on loving you. And maybe you just need to hear that today. I don't know what you might be going through in your life. Maybe you have a difficulty to face. And problems to cope with. God loves you more than you can ever imagine. Loves me more than I can ever imagine. Cares for you and cares for me more than we can ever imagine. And how does Jesus display his love in this? Amazing, isn't it? What does he do? Well, you'll see on the screen on the left-hand side. He gets up from the meal, and he takes off his outer clothing, and he wraps a towel round himself, and he pours water in a basin, and he begins to wash his disciples' feet. Can you imagine doing that? Can you imagine if I this morning came down here and started to wash your feet? You'd get a right shock, wouldn't you? You would. But that's what he did. He left, took off his outer garment and got this basin and got this towel and went down and began to wash feet. An amazing thing. I've only washed someone's feet in my life, apart from my own feet. We're on a beach mission team a number of years ago. And the guy who's now the director of missions for the Baptist Association was on the team. And we'd been out on the beach. And I don't know what notion I took, but I thought it would be nice. Maybe we were talking about this. And it would be just an experience to wash Mervyn's feet. So I got a basin and got a towel and he got a right shock and washed his feet. Interesting to do it, isn't it? But here were people who had been out walking on the roads, on the dusty roads, and Jesus wraps this towel around him and basin and towel and takes the form of a servant. This is something a slave would do. And not just a Jewish slave, but if you had a Gentile slave, even lower, the Gentile slave would do that, would wash your feet after the journey you'd been on with all the dust and the dirt of the roads. Colossians speaks of Jesus as the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. All things were created by him and for him. But the Creator, what does he do here? He washes feet. Servant heart. taking the form of a servant, is what it says in Philippians. He humbled himself. And here's Jesus humbling himself, doing this lowliest of tasks, washing feet, the doulos, the slave. The first 12 chapters, as I said, have been all about exalting his greatness and his ministry and all that he did. But now here he is, a slave. What amazing love. Does that not cause you to marvel at Jesus this morning? Marvel that he should wash people's feet. And there's another aspect to his love. He showed them the full extent of his love, it says. And on the other side of that slide, there's the other demonstration of love. Most amazing demonstration of love at Calvary's cross, when Jesus gave his life, paid the price for our sins, so that we might be forgiven. That's a thing to wonder at as well, isn't it? That he should do that for you and do that for me. So here's this love, amazing love. We're to love utterly. Jesus says Don Carson loved utterly in this story as he washed disciples' feet, and so are we. We're to love each other utterly. That's the quality of love we're to have. The Bible talks about going the second mile. You know that phrase, don't you? And in the days of New Testament, the rules were that if the Roman soldier wanted you to carry his burden, then you would carry it a mile. But Jesus says, don't just go the mile with someone, go the second mile. Going the extra mile is what we often say. And we need to be extra mile people as Christian people. In the book of Ephesians, in the story of the Ephesian church in Revelation, the writer says, you have forsaken your first love. That's what God's assessment of the church is. You've forsaken your first love. Remember the height from which you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. Once your love for God was up there, but now for this Ephesian church, it was no longer up there. They had moved away from that. Remember the height from which you have fallen, it says, and do the things that you did at first. So where was the Ephesian church? Once up there, but now down here. Their love had become much less. And what does God say? He says, repent. Once you were up there with your love for me and for other people, but now other things have come in and your love is not what it once was. That can happen, can't it? It can happen that life revolves around you. Life revolves around your possessions. Life revolves around your family. And once when you trusted him, your love was up there and you loved him so much, but these other things have come in and the love has lessened. And what does God want this morning? He wants you to repent. That means to have a change of mind and to love him again and to love people again and for love to be up there again where it once was. Can I ask you this morning, as I ask myself, where is our love? What about the extent of your love? Is it up there or is it down here? Maybe saying to me today, hey, I want you to love me and to love people. Love up there again where it once was. So a basin and a towel and a cross. Last night we were watching a program about Buckingham Palace. Maybe some of you saw it. Interesting, as it focused on the Second World War. And amazing thing, Buckingham Palace, during the Second World War, they invited soldiers who were travelling to come to Buckingham Palace and to have an afternoon tea. Soldiers. And who served them? It was Prince Albert or Princess Alexandra, I think was maybe one of them, Queen Mary. Imagine that, serving these soldiers. And I thought about this passage. And I thought about love, you and me, love. To love each other with love that's up there. Extent of his love. His love was up there for these people. And our love needs to be like that. Let's move to the second one. The extent of his love. In verse 2, the enemy of love. It says that the devil had already prompted Judas Iscariot, son of Simon, to betray Jesus. Interesting, in all of this, the enemy was at work. And here he is at work, prompting Judas Iscariot to betray Jesus. And you know, when God is at work, the enemy is there, often there, when love is being demonstrated. And sometimes in church life and in family life, wherever, the enemy can get in. And relationships are often his target to try and disrupt things and distract people from loving as they should love. Often there's words and attitudes that are displeasing to God, and the enemy can be busy. And so when you get a church like this, or any church, the danger is that the enemy comes and is busy. And instead of the love being there, there can be relationships that are fractured and relationships that are difficult. And maybe this morning we just need to ask ourselves as a fellowship, what about our relationships? Has the enemy got in? Now, I'm not saying this because I know something that would make me say this morning, but I'm just saying it often happens that relationships that should be close like that can be separated like that because of words and thoughts and deeds that can hurt people. And here is the enemy busy. And whenever relationships are severed and they're not as they should be, what is the answer to that? The answer is forgiveness, isn't it? And we need to be a church that forgives. Whenever we get relationships wrong, whenever the words are not right, whenever I get the words wrong, don't say what I should, then praise God, there is forgiveness. Forgiveness for you and forgiveness for me whenever that happens. And here is Judas and the enemy busy. By the way, before I leave that, can I say, if relationships have been severed and relationships have been difficult, sort it out. We need to sort it out. If your brother sins against you, go and sort it out, says Matthew 18, verse 15. And if your brother sins against you, how many times do you forgive? Seven times? Up to seven times? Not at all. Do you know how many it is? You do. Either 77 times or 70 times 7. Forgive. I was teaching in Down High, and we had a carol service coming up, and the end of a busy school day, some of you who are teachers will know the tiredness at the end of a school day, and called into the vice principal's office and said, would you like me to line up a rehearsal in the cathedral? I said, that would be great. You go and do that. So I went and made a phone call, put the rehearsal into place in the cathedral for the carol service, and called into the VP's office again and said, by the way, I've put that rehearsal into place for such and a day. To which the VP said, oh, the head would like you to have your rehearsal on the same day as the carol service. In fact, all your rehearsals on the same day as the carol service. Now, if you're a music teacher, you'll know how difficult that could be. That is an impossibility to be able to cope with that. And my reaction was not outwardly, but the words came out. can't do that. That's an impossibility. And anyway, the next day, had to go back and apologize because that relationship was not as it should be. Sometimes it can happen, can't it, the words? And we just need to sort it out if it's happened and get it right. So the extent of his love, the enemy of his love, and then thirdly, the example of his love. This is the kernel of it, isn't it? This is where the rubber hits the road for you and me, because God wants us to follow his example. There's a whole section here about Peter. Peter questions Jesus, "Are you going to wash my feet?" And he says, "You'll never wash my feet." And Jesus says, "Well, unless I wash you, you have no part with me." "And wash all of me," Peter says. "You're like a person who's had a bath. You're clean. You only need to have your feet washed." And so he talks with Peter. Peter doesn't understand. There needs to be daily feet washing. When you come to Christ, it's like having a bath. You're all made clean, but Peter doesn't quite get it. But here's this example. Jesus finishes washing the disciples' feet, puts on his garment and turns to his place. "Do you understand what I've done for you?" he says. "Here is your teacher and Lord washing your feet, and you should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. That you should do as I have done for you. That you should do as I have done for you." And that's what he wants us to do today. He wants us to be a people who do what he did for those disciples. To wash one another's feet. Do. Very practical. And I want to take us to some practical things this morning. Four things that will promote love in this fellowship. Are you ready? Number one, talk. Talking. Talk to each other. We need to be about that. Lifting the phone after the church service, before the church service, whatever. Talking. I don't know what it is about English teachers, but at Regent House we had an English teacher who talked. And at Down High we had another English teacher who talked. And they were great talkers. And they just would talk, talk, talk. And they were lovely people. They had just that gift of the gab, as we often say. So first thing, we need to be people who talk to each other. So if there's to be love in this fellowship, things that promote love, talking together. Number two, things that promote love, praying for each other. As I thought about that this week, there's maybe nothing better than we can do than pray for each other. I wonder, do we do that? Pray for each other. So things that promote love, talking and praying. And then encouraging. Great to encourage one another, isn't it? Remember, Barnabas was the great encourager in Scripture. All about encouraging people. Great to encourage one another. And then fourthly, doing things for each other. Doing things. So talking and praying and encouraging and doing. So somebody needs a lift to the hospital. Could do that. Maybe somebody needs shopping done. And do that. Maybe grass needs cut. And do that. Maybe sending a card. You can do that. Just visiting. You can do that. Whatever it might be. But we need to be a people who do, who follow the example of Jesus. And do. Talking, praying, encouraging, and doing. There's a lovely example in Scripture of someone who did that. The man was traveling from Jerusalem to Jericho, and a priest and Levite come along, and they go back, they go past on the other side. And then, of course, the Samaritan comes, but he stops. And he comes to where the man is, and he bandages his wounds, and he pours on oil and wine. And he puts him on a donkey and takes him to an inn, and he gives the innkeeper 2 coins, 2 days' wages, and whatever else is going to be incurred by way of cost. That's love in action, isn't it? To go past, pass on by, don't do anything. But one does. And the challenge is for you and me, don't be like the two who just pass on by and do nothing whenever there's need. But we need to be people who do and do what God wants us to do. So then this morning, how important is this? Later on in this chapter, a new command I give to you, love one another. A new command I give to you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this will all men know you're my disciples, if you love one another. How will the world know about God and about his love? How will the world know that you're God's? If we have love one for another. So the extent of his love, so great, up love demonstrated by this basin and towel and the cross. The extent of his love, the enemy of his love, the enemy of love, and the example of his love. Where's your love? It's up there. Down here. Maybe today we need to put it back up there again. We had Val English speaking here a number of weeks ago. I maybe told you the story before, but I was playing the organ at Mervyn Scott's wedding, Mervyn and Karen's wedding in Belfast. And during the signing of the register, there was a song that I was to play on the organ. So Val English comes to the point in the service and he says, now we're going to have a song, and the song is Love is All Around. And the way it had put it on the program was it had Love is All Around and then in brackets, Bertie Coffee. And Val says, Love is All Around, Bertie Coffee. Because not too much before that, Ella and I had started going together. And he was quite right. Love was all around Bertie Coffee. I wonder what God say about that, about this church. There's love all around us. It's love all around me. Love all around you. Love. It's a challenge of this passage. Do. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word today that has challenged us about relating to one another and of your desire for us to be people who love, people who do, people who are engaged with each other. And to pray that this fellowship, Lord, might be characterized by love. And to pray that our lives individually, our lives might be characterized by love. So help us, Lord, to be basin and towel people who engage with others and seek to help and seek to be a blessing whenever we can, because we want to honour you and we want to be the people that you would have us be. And we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen.